greater good, you know. I lost contact with my wife about 2.5 months ago, and she just contacted me about last Sunday, actually, right after church. And it was very touching. She ended up telling me, you know, the reason that I haven't heard from her was because she ended up forgetting about, you know, the Lord himself, and she went back to using. So he ended up doing a divine intervention and threw her in a, you know, institute and got her better. So now she's doing good again. She's contacting me. And, you know, it's, I just want to end up saying, you know, with his word, everything's possible.
Amen.
And it's very, very, when you have blinders on, you can't really see it. But once you ask him to end up taking the blinders off and open your eyes, everything seems to be right there in front of you when you thought it was, you know, about 7 years away.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up continue praying for my wife. Hopefully she'll be coming back to me soon. If she doesn't, you know, I still got love for her. But everything's possible, and I just wanted to end up saying, you know, God is good. And
Amen.
He's ended up teaching me a lot within the last year. So, thank you.
Amen. Why don't you introduce us to that pretty lady sitting next to you?
And I'm sorry, y'all. I told y'all that I'd get my mom here. I'd like for you to meet my mom. Her name's Rhonda. Okay?
Nice to have you here, Rhonda.
And you all know my little brother, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Good to have you here.
I brought his friend, Corbin.
Hi, Corbin.
And then you also know Cammie and Josh over here.
Love you guys. Thank you very much.
No problem. Even if you laugh, Mike.
Well, I'm thankful to God because it was a hard year for not having a job and or a car and stuff. But God really, really provided for me and took care of every single need that I had and more than that. And he gave me a lot this year and some things that are earthly and some things that aren't. And I am very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for my friends and family who really helped me out during this time. And I'm very, very grateful for the relationship that I have this year. And so.
Amen. God is good.
Okay, so like I know a lot of us, I've had an incredibly hard year from the get-go, like from coming into the year was awful. And I just remember like last year at the same time, I'm like, I wanted to be April. I just wanted to be April and be done. I just want to be done. And now it's December again. and just, I am so thankful because like I've been working on a lot of things like personally and just trying to change a lot of different things. And that's why I wanted it to be April, so it could just, like, 4 months later, it was done, you know? And hopefully something in 4 months would be changed. And I can't even describe the person I was to the person I am. I still want more, but, like, in a year, I've become a radically new person, and I absolutely love that. And that was only through God, because I've been trying for years to do that, and that didn't happen. And then I'm also thankful. I went about 6 months without a job this year, and my incredible roommates didn't kick me out for not paying rent, and I'm so thankful for that. Like, that touches me more than you guys know, so thank you.
I got one, too. Most of you guys hear a lot of what goes on in my life because, you know, I talk in front of you all the time. But most of you all have heard some of the bigger ones, but I really got, I hope this doesn't embarrass these guys, but Oh, well. All is fair in God's miracles, I guess. Anyway, but I guess I hadn't realized how long we'd met Anna, like how long we've known her and stuff like that. And, I mean, the only reason we bumped into her was because Robert, you know, was Robert, and, like, he was completely unafraid to, like, talk to people and talk about the gospel and stuff like that. And I know that's one of the reasons that I was so drawn to Kingston and stuff like that is I really respect people who aren't afraid. And there's just something admirable about that. But anyway, but I guess I just was thinking about, like, the day that we first met Anna and stuff like that. And she was stuck at Volunteers of America, and, you know, it's just down in the dumps. And she had gotten in kind of a bad situation and got stuck. And because she had wanted to come to church, we'd given her Randy's number so that he could come give her a ride and stuff like that. And she wound up getting kicked out. And, I mean, I still remember all of her stuff being in a laundry basket and stuff like that and having nowhere to go. And so me and Randy both hopped in the car, and somebody put her in a hotel for a couple of nights. And you'd thought that, you know, we'd given her like $1 million just by not letting her sleep on the streets. And she hadn't seen her daughter, and I don't remember how long it was and stuff like that. And just to watch her walk into church with Fune, you know, every Sunday, it's just amazing. And so I guess that just touched my heart. And then another cool thing was, you guys know that, you know, like Joe and all of his crew and stuff, that I give him a ride here and there. And it's good because it gives me 45 minutes of quiet time with God every time I go get him. And it's just good sometimes to just, like, reset like that. So it's cool. But anyway, I went over to go to Dry Bones with Joe and his little brother. And it wound up being canceled. And so I was like, well, I cleared my night out, so let's just hang out. And so one of the better nights I've had in a long time. We just hung out. We played video games and stuff like that. And Josh had offered to make me a meal. Like, I watched him and Cammy, like, clean the whole kitchen and stuff like that. He found out that he didn't have enough butter, and so, like, he scrounged up all his extra money just to go buy, you know, a cube of butter so that he could cook me a meal. Just made me feel like a king, you know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hello. My name is Jeremy. She pretty much said everything I wanted to say. I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for. You know, the one major thing I'm grateful for is the fact that I get the chance to go back to school. Of course, a lot of you guys have heard about that, but to me, that's the biggest miracle ever. You know, and plus, just we had a great Christmas. You know, it was the weirdest thing, and I just got so many memories that are just I'm going to have forever. And that's some of the great things. Just having a family and having people here. At the church, and just having these relationships, building lasting relationships that are going to carry on for years and years. This is something we're not used to, because we think if we get in an argument with somebody, that's it. You know, we're gone, they're gone, and then that's usually how our life has been. You know, so since we kind of lived on the road in a way, we argue with somebody, hey, I don't have to spend time with you, see you later. You know, we don't try to get over things and get over humps and try to work our differences out. And that's something that has been a major difference for us this year, and just being able to establish these lifelong relationships. And now I can look back when I think about certain people, you know, I can just sit there and think, and I'm just like, wow, you know, that was pretty cool. We did this, we did that. And these kind of memories that I have, it's just so great. And that's just something I'm just truly grateful for. Everybody and all the memories you guys are providing for us. So thank you.
Anybody else? It's been an amazing year. Amazing year. I am Beth, or Mama, to call me. And I get to live my life out loud in front of all of you every day. And so, you know, the wonderful things that has happened in my life this year are countless. God is so gracious. He is so amazing in what he has done. that I couldn't even begin to count them all, how he has sustained us, provided for us, kept us together as a family, brought us back together as a family, and it goes on and on. I did a Bible study a while back, and I asked the ladies this question. Right behind my house, where he's talking about buying property, they're doing all this excavating, and they're doing this whole new project back there. And so I was talking at the Bible study about how they're transforming the landscape back there, and how sometimes God comes in like that, and he just bulldozes up our life, and he moves dirt around, and he does all this stuff to build something new. And I said, if you were a building project like that right now, and God was moving all the dirt around in your world and turning up the soil and doing all of that, what would the name of your project be? What would you call it? Like, I've been looking out my window waiting for a sign out there because I wanted to know what they're building back there, and it's been months and months and months before we ever even saw the sign. So anyway, we went around the room, and when it got to my turn, I said, well, I think I would call my project Still Lovely. Still Lovely. And I said, the reason is because no matter how much the dirt in my life gets turned upside down and moved all around and things shift and change, the one thing that always seems to remain is love. Can never seem to get buried. It may get a little dirt thrown on it. It may get moved around a little bit, but it just truly never fails. It is always there. I see it in my family. I see it in my God. I see it in all of you. And it really has been amazing, incredible year. The new people that have come into our family that we're so excited about, and every one of you. I wouldn't want to go through 2013 with anybody except all of you. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the new year. But before we do, I'd like to kind of turn our attention back to the Lord, and I would like to play a song. It's a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about this morning. So, Andy, can you cue up I Will Rise, please? Yes, you may.
It's been on my heart what you said. What you said just was confirmation of what he's been saying on my heart. He's talking about the construction project, and I'm Paul, by the way. Paul, Pablo, Paul, Polly, whatever you want to call me. And you can call me late for dinner. I won't starve. You know, what would the name of your project be? You know, Jeff said, hey, what's the word of the year? And this is something that God's really had on my heart really for the last couple weeks. And I just want to say it to you. You know, we're kind of at a different point as a family and as a ministry as we come into this new year. He's not in the same place that he was. This family's not in the same place they were. They're carrying different loads and different responsibilities. I don't know if God has a word of the year for our body the way he has in the last forever. It may come through him. It may come through her. It may come through him. We don't know. But regardless if there is a word or if there's not a word, there is a word for you as an individual. There is a word for you as a family. And one of the things that has made the church, and I can even say this church specifically, weak over the years, as we have relied solely on our spiritual development and maturity on those who stood at this pulpit. When God gives a pastor a word for a body, it's for a body. And you kind of look at the body as like a military organization, and the chief in commander is given the word to one of his generals. And the general takes that and he uses that as a direction, as the development of the body. But in each and every part and member of that organization, people are being developed for special force purposes. They're being trained for very specific things. People are learning more about the equipment itself, how to maintain the equipment. Some people are learning how to use the equipment. Some people are being developed in some sort of special force because they've got a specific thing. Over a year ago, God began to talk about some of the young men in our church about a specific task, a specific thing to target, a specific thing to do. The things that are going on in this world, we cannot just rely on what's going on in our pastors' lives and in their hearts any longer. God needs us as individuals. He needs us as families. And there are strengths that we have as individuals and as families, and there are weaknesses that we have as individuals and families. And there are things that we get involved in because we think it looks cool or sounds cool, or we think it means something in our lives that we can say this about our lives. And we're operating in a place that we should have never been at all because we weren't instructed to be there. God has a word for you as an individual. And husbands, I'm going to say, God has a word for you for your families. Testimonies come, and I see all kinds of wives raise up their hands and talk about God's goodness and God's faithfulness and what God's doing in his life. And this is nothing new. I've watched this in church forever. I mean, I've grown up in church. And the men sit silent and don't speak of God's goodness. They don't speak of his mercy. They don't talk about the things that God is doing in his heart. They don't talk about the things that God is leading them in as they guide their families. God is simply looking for the people who will say, "Here am I, send me." Like I said, I don't know if there is a word for this body. But even if there is a word, greater manifestation of what will happen in this word that God gives our pastors will take place if we as individuals and as families will seek God's word for us. Because whatever he has for you, it is to make the unit as a whole a stronger, more powerful force. There are infantrymen, there are special forces men, there are mechanics, there are instructors, there are, you name it, in any force. And it takes each individual person and each individual team to make this unit a strong and effective unit. So seek the Lord. Find out his word for you. Find out his word for your family. And if God has a word for us as a body, then praise the Lord. We'll grab a hold of that together as a body. But if you will seek God, whatever God has for us as a body will be more effective, will be more powerful, will bring more glory to this earth if we are more than a body just being drug around by a head.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is
Lord, let that not just be a song that we sing, but let that be the conviction of our heart. That when you call our name, we will rise. We will rise up, and we will follow after you. We will walk by faith, not by sight. We will not be resistant, stiff-necked, stubborn, or self-willed. When you call our name, we will rise up. Now, Father, speak to your children today. Let let it not be the words of the flesh. Let it not be my words, for my words have no value in their life. But let it be your words, Holy Spirit. And let us accomplish the purpose that you have in each and one of their lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's an amazing song. It talks about, I will rise on eagle's wings. And it talks about being on bended knee also. And so it seems to be, when you think about it, it seems to be, well, how do I do that? How do I be on my, how do I fall on my knees and rise at the same time? The song is talking about surrender. You fall on your knees and you surrender. And as you surrender, the Lord lifts you up to the place that he has for you. Happy New Year, question mark. I'm going to read you something really quickly out of this devotional that somebody put in my hands last year. It's called Jesus Calling. Come to me with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me is a life of continual newness. Do not cling to old ways as you step into a new year. Instead, seek my face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you focus your thoughts on me, be aware that I am fully attentive to you. I see you with a steady eye because my attention span is infinite. I know and understand you completely. I'm going to read that first part again. And I come with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. So often we come to the Lord and we want him to change things for us. We don't come to the Lord eager to be changed ourselves. We just want God to change our circumstances. Or change the people that are annoying us and making our circumstances hard. But we don't want to come to him and say, change me. I earnestly want to be different, like Noelle was talking about in her testimony. A close walk with me is a life of continual newness. Do not cling to old ways as you step into a new year. If your walk with God continues to look the same, your thinking continues to be the same, your doing continues, that something is wrong. There should be a newness as you walk with God. In less than 36 hours, we're going to be standing, many of us here, some of you will be in other parties in other places, but at some point or another, you're all going to say these three words that we say every year, and that's Happy New Year, right? Isn't that what we say? Happy New Year! We run around and tell people, Happy New Year, and when we're on the phone, have Happy New Year! So here's my question, will yours be? Will yours be a Happy New Year? How will you determine? How will you decide? Is this, when you say Happy New Year, is this something that you just say? Or is it a hope or maybe even a proclamation? When you say it to yourself, when you say it to somebody else, is it a hope? Is it a proclamation? Or is it just three words that we say? I hope your year is going to be happy. I hope my year's going to be happy. I hope I have a happy new year. Or is it a proclamation? I believe I'm going to have a happy new year. You are going to have a happy new year. Here's what happy means. Happy is characterized by or indicative of pleasure, contentment, or joy. It means favored by fortune. Delighted, pleased, or glad as over a particular thing. Happy New Year. Are you delighted? Are you pleased? Are you glad right now, today, that a new year is beginning? Or are you thinking we're just probably going to continue on with another year? How do you think about Happy New Year? It's just going to be another year? Will it be a new year for you? An actual, really new year? Or are you just going to continue living with the old year? Continue living behind you, as so many of us do. What is going to be your determination? what is going to be your proclamation. A determination begins right here. Determination begins in your heart. Not a decision, but a conviction, a determination. A proclamation comes right here. It comes out of your mouth. Scripture says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can always tell a man's predeterminations by his proclamations. You can always tell what he's determined in his heart by what is coming out of his mouth. Oh, it's just another day. That's what people say about New Year's. What difference does it make? It's just another day. Well, it's just going to be the same as it was last year. Then you know what? By your determination and your proclamation, you're probably going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. And 2013 is going to look like 2012, or maybe all the way back to the year 2000, if you're still stuck back there. Are you living behind you? Or are you walking with God and going forward into the new that he has for you? Where are you living? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, one of my personal life scriptures. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? That is how the NIV reads. The New King James reads, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? Just like Jerry said earlier, so many miracles going on around people all the time. So many new things already springing up around people, and they don't know of it. They don't know of it. They don't perceive it because they're always back in the former things. As one day folds into another day and we mark a new year and you're no longer writing 2012, but you start writing 2013, will yours be new? Is it going to be a new year? Or again, is it just going to be a continuation of the old? And here's where you check yourself. In your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. Is it going to be a new year? Or are you still going to think the same way? Are you still going to have the same predeterminations about where things are going to be and what's going to happen in my life and what's going to happen with people? And, well, that's what happened then, and that's probably still how they're going to be. And, well, that's the way they've always been, and that's the way I've always been. And so, are you going to be able to forget the former things? Are you going to be able to get to a place in your life where you are no longer considering the things of old, but you're actually looking for a new thing? Your eyes are opened. The eyes of your heart is opened. People say a lot of things. And then there's what the Bible says. Here's an example of this. People say, well, you have to forgive, but you'll never forget. The Bible says we are to forgive and we are to forget. That's what the Bible says. Here's what forget means. Again, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Forget means to cease or fail to remember, to be unable to recall, to fail to think of or to take note of. How many steps are you going to make in the new year that were made by you thinking or taking note of old things that happened in 2012? How many emotions are you going to get all riled up in because you were considering a former thing rather than just walking in the new thing that God has right in front of you? He says, forget the former things. Forget. Cease to remember. Quit taking note of them all the time. Quit making your decisions based out of them. Why? Because you will never, ever, ever be able to perceive a new thing or receive a new thing if you are always, always remembering, considering, and dwelling and taking note of old things. It's not going to happen. One of the definitions, if you look up new, is fresh. It's fresh. Some people's lives are not fresh. Some people's walks with God are not fresh. Some people's relationships, their marriages, their families aren't fresh. They have that stale stench. That stale stench of the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. There's no freshness. There's no new life. Have you ever heard somebody say they have a really old soul? have a really old soul. You know what makes a person's soul old? Their mind, their will, and their emotions old? It's when it is tied to former things. That's what gives somebody an old soul. It's not fresh. It's not new. It's old. Their decisions are tied to former things. Their choices are tied to former things. Their thoughts are tied to former things. Their emotions are all wrapped up in former things. They're dwelling and pondering and meditating in former things. And so they're not fresh. Not new. Their thoughts aren't new. Their ideas aren't new. Their exchanges with people and their relationships are not new. Why? Because they have an old soul that is stuck in former things. It says, do not remember the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell there. Here's what it means to dwell somewhere. To live or stay as a permanent resident or to reside. To live or continue in a given condition or state. Some of you still act and react like you were in 1990. I want you to think about how old you were in 90, how old you were in 98, 2000, 2005. We're in the last 36 hours of 2012. Let's get current. I don't mean to be rude, but let's get current, okay? Because you know what? Last year, not my favorite year. I'm ready to forget the former things and be in a new thing. This has been a life scripture for me. Again and again and again in my life, God has brought me to this. Why? Because I have a great memory for things that don't need to be remembered anymore. And so do all of you. That's why he says, forget them. And let's get current. And let's have a fresh thing. And let's have a new thing. And let's not linger to dwell, to linger over, to emphasize, to ponder in thought, speech, or writing. Here's my favorite. To be motionless for a certain interval. Some of you have been motionless way too long. Way too long. It's time to stop standing in the middle of the merry-go-round while it's going like this and get off that thing and start getting into a new thing in how you think and how you hear. People, again, they don't have the fresh thing. They don't have the new thing because I'm always stuck in old, former things. It's one of the saddest things that ever happens to somebody's life is when their soul gets old because it's always stuck in those former things. To where God calls your name and you won't arise. Well, I don't want to do that. What if I fail again? Well, I don't want to trust him again. What if they betray me again? I don't want to put my money in that thing. I put my money in that thing last time and look what happened. But whatever it may be, you can't receive this incredible new thing God wants you to have. Just even something as simple as a new year. You can't receive what you can't perceive. Right? If you can't perceive, you're never going to receive. And so you've got to open up your eyes. I want you to think today about how you perceive things. All of us perceive things through our five senses. At least that's how I perceive. I perceive through what I see. I perceive through hearing, taste, smell. Those are all our perceptions. That's how we perceive things. And so often, the way we perceive things is held captive to former things. You have all those filters on. Somebody says something, and you can't hear what they said today. You hear it through the filter of former things. Somebody does something, and you can't receive that new thing that God wanted you to have today because it looked kind of similar to what they did formerly. And so all of your perceptions are all tied up and chained up in former things. And so in your life and in your relationships, in your future, sometimes even in your salvation, Scripture says we're supposed to work out our salvation. We're supposed to grow up in our salvation. Some people don't work out and grow up in their salvation because they can never perceive this new thing that God is wanting to do in their lives because they're too caught back up here in all the former things that have happened. Well, this happened in church, and well, that happened with God. And the last time I stepped out with God, this happened. And the last time I believed God, that happened. And so I'm stuck. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you have your Bible and you write in it, underline in, He is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In the New King James, it reads, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's how you do this. Get out of your past and get in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, are your perceptions, the way you hear things, the way you see things, the way you perceive things, are they in Christ or are they in the former things? Think about it today. Are you dwelling in Christ or are you dwelling in 2012? Because very soon we're all going to write a new number. But the question is, where are you going to live? Where are you going to dwell? Where are you going to walk? You going to walk backwards? You going to walk forwards? Philippians 4:8. Pastor, one of Pastor's life scriptures, he gives it to you all the time. I hear you guys, you're so funny. If he tells me that one more time, I'm going to puke. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Not the former things. Think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Next time you find yourself going, whatever, I want you to think of the whatever scripture. Okay? And I want you to go, all right, brain, if you're going, whatever, it's probably because you're stuck in a former thing. That's why you have your little attitude on. And if you'll get your mind to whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, your whatever will change a lot. Happy New Year, we're all going to say. Will it be happy? Will it be new? Can I tell you, this is up to each and every one of you. If your year is going to be happy and your year is going to be new, the determination is upon you. What will be your determination and what will be your proclamation? I want you to think about this. Here's one of the definitions of happy, is to be favored by fortune. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm favored by fortune because I'm a child of the King. Every one of you sitting here is favored by fortune because you are God's child. You are not just the child of your father. You are the child of a King, and you are heirs of his kingdom. And all of the riches in heaven and everything that he has is yours. Do you know what that means? You are fortunate because by his blood, you have received the fullness of the kingdom and you have received his favor, which means you should have a happy new year. You got the favor of God. And behold, all things have the opportunity to become new. You should be able to say happy new year, and it really means something. Kingston, you're going to have a happy new year. You will. You will. Ron, it's going to be a happy new year. Baby, this is going to be the best happy new year of our life. 2 Corinthians 6. 1 and 2, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. You know, Scripture says his grace is sufficient. His grace covers the former things. When we keep the former things continually alive, we receive that grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. Not tomorrow, today. Today is the day that he helps you, he hears you. Today is the day that he saves you from the former things that have sought to tie you down and keep you captive there forever. Today is the day. The weeks, the hours, the moments of 2012, they're behind us. Very shortly, they're all going to be behind us. Don't drag them into a new year like a ball of change, please. Like a big old chain, just dragging it on in. Don't. Forget the former things. Free yourself over things you can't control, over things you can't change, over things that you aren't supposed to relive. Just set yourself free and open your life up and open your soul up to have a happy new year. To be able to actually perceive, open your eyes. Kingston said it when he was testifying. He said, my eyes just opened. To what? To the new thing that God is putting all around him and all around you and all around you and all around you. But you're going to miss your moment if your eyes are in places they shouldn't be. You're not going to receive because you're not going to perceive. T.D. Jakes says this. He says, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. So many people miss the moment that God has them right in front of them right now. There's a God moment sitting right here for you, and you miss it because you're all caught up reliving these moments that are behind you, trying to change the moments that are behind you or recreate the moments that are behind you or relive the moments that are behind you, even the great moments, or heaven forbid, resurrect the moments that are behind you. If anything back there he actually needs you to resurrect or do again, he'll put it in front of you. Keep your eyes forward. Don't miss your God moment that is right in front of you because you're caught living back here behind you, someplace you don't need to be anymore. Forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Happy New Year, Randy. Let this be your determination. Let this be your proclamation over your life, over your family, over your business, over your church, over yourself. Happy New Year. This is my determination. This is my proclamation. And I'm going to live it out by faith. It doesn't matter what I see going on around me, just like Pastor said. So we flip it on and we're all in a financial crash. So what? I'm going to have a happy new year. No matter what. That is my declaration. That is my proclamation. I dare you. I dare you to have a happy new year. Amen? You ready, Kathleen? Happy New Year. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Now we're going to close in this song that we just sang, I Will Rise. And I want you to really sing that song from your being. I will rise. Can you have a copy of that song? Absolutely you can. Andy would be happy to do that for you. No, you're fine. Andy's more than happy to get that for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God,